God's desire is for you to live a victorious Christian life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell gives us practical instructions on how to unleash the power of God in our lives.
Some of you better get to the place that you understand you're not walking to the beat of the drum of the devil, but you are going to walk according to the orders of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you better get on your face and get with God in the morning, and you better have your devotions, and you better say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to treat my wife? How do you want me to treat my children? Get your marching orders from God and do what God calls you to do.
Jesus faced almost every situation imaginable, and yet he refused to give in to temptation. In our series, Kingdom Living, we will learn what it means to unleash the power of God in our lives so that we can live the victorious Christian life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. The world is obsessed with power. But the Bible reveals that the greatest power of all is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Jesus Threatened by Herod.
He knew the hill of the skull. He created it. He knew the tree that he would be spread out upon. He planted it. He knew the thorns that would be placed upon his brow. He created them. He knew the place was Jerusalem, but he also knew that until that time, God had a purpose for him in Perea, a place that if you were to stand, perhaps in Jericho, and look around you and look there in that eastern realm of the Holy Land, as it is called, you would look at it and you would think you were somewhere between Boron and Barstow. It was an extremely desolate place. Just like some of you when you got transferred to Lancaster and you came to a desert and you said, there's no trees around here. And you said, what are we doing here? And a lot of folks say, I know now what I'm doing here. I got saved here. I'm serving the Lord here. God had a spiritual purpose. By the way, I like to say it this way. God does good things in the desert places. But somebody might have said, Jesus, really, Perea? I mean, it's just a forsaken desert. Wouldn't you rather be in Jerusalem? Better food, better cultural experience. Why? Wouldn't that be better? And sometimes the devil might say that to you. Really? Lancaster, how about this? How about that? Let me tell you something, my friend. The very best place for your life is in the center of the will of God. And Jesus just wanted to be in God's will and wanted to follow God's ordained steps. And so he said, I know about Jerusalem. And one day I'm going to go there and I'm going to die there. But this is where I'm supposed to be now. And while I am here, I will not be thinking about there. And while I am here, I will not be wondering what it would be like where the grass is greener. Because today I am here, and today I will do what God wants me to do. And my friend, I do not know where I will die, and I do not know where I will be buried. But one thing this pastor knows is that God has called me to Lancaster to preach the gospel on the backside of the desert. And while I am here, I will do the works that God has called me to do. And may you take the same attitude. And may you say, I may be in Perea, but I will do what God has me to do in Perea. And when God wants me somewhere else to die, then that's what he would have me to do. But until then, I will not waste my days thinking about something else. He had an unstoppable course, and he had a certain crucifixion. John 7 and verse 30, they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. You see, they could not have him until his hour was come. And it's a wonderful day in your life when you come to the realization that I am completely immortal until God is done with me. You ever thought about that? We fear what men could do to us, and we fear and sometimes are concerned about our health, and I understand that, but please understand this. You are immortal in this earth until God says it's time to come home. And then you are immortal for all of eternity. Please remember that no one and nothing could stop Jesus Christ. Luke 4:24, he said to them, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." He would have rejection while he was here on this earth. John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And so Jesus, during the course of his ministry, four different times predicted his death. Four different times he said, "I'm going to die. I'm going to die in Jerusalem. And one day, unless the rapture takes place first, all of us will die. But until that happens, we need to be faithful to fulfill everything that God wants you to fulfill." Gentlemen, let me remind you, if you died on Thursday, you would not regret having read the Bible to your children Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And if you die a week from tomorrow, you will not have regretted being in God's house. And you will not have regretted tithing to God's house. And you would not have regretted telling your wife you loved her. I don't know when this life will end, but I know I want every day until then to count for Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I know that I will die. And four times he prophesied his death. But until then, he said, I'm going to do the will of my Father. I'm going to do what God wanted me to do. And this is the plan of Jesus. It was an unstoppable plan, and it was a course that he intended to follow. And I suggest to you, it's a good plan for all of us to follow, that we will find and fulfill the will of God until he calls us home, you see. Notice finally, not only the plot of Herod, the plan of Jesus, but the prophecy of Jesus. Now, in the midst of this interrupted sermon where the Pharisees ran in and said, "Herod's going to kill you." And Jesus said, "You tell that fox I've got stuff to do. I know I'm going to die, but it's not going to be today. There's things the Father wants me to do." Then Jesus gives a sermon back to them. And notice in verse 34, he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." You see, he's invoked the word Jerusalem because he said, prophets don't die in Perea. I know that much. You know that much. When I die, I'm going to die in Jerusalem. And then he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not." Notice, first of all, an agonizing lamentation. Jesus, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." There are some parents here this morning who have lived and parented long enough, perhaps, to say, "Oh, Johnny, oh, Susie, oh, how could that have happened? Oh, my children." There are some pastors who've pastored long enough to think, "Oh, the congregation." But Jesus is thinking of Jerusalem, and he agonizes with a double direct address to Jerusalem. It is a direct address to the nation of Israel, this nation that he has been traveling and where he has been preaching and where he has been performing miracles and where he has been the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the prophet giving forth instruction. But they had a problem. You see, in this agonizing lamentation, he speaks, first of all, of a history of rejection. They had a history of rejecting the prophets. Notice what it says in verse number 34. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them." Wow. Now, frankly, I know of some cities that have a rough reputation. Let's just be honest. Let's just be honest. There's some towns that aren't real friendly to the gospel. I know of some churches that develop a reputation like this. I've said to sometimes a young preacher, they said, "What about this church?" I'd say, "You know, I'd be careful with that. That church has been hard on preachers. They don't pray for the pastor. They don't care. They don't encourage. There's a group in there of people that are just hardened And I'm going to tell you something. It's a strong thing when Jesus would say, "Oh, Jerusalem, That's the city that kills prophets. Listen, that's not a reputation any place or people would want. And Jesus says they killed the prophets and stoned them. 2 Chronicles 36:16, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and missed his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against this people till there was no remedy. You see, Jerusalem as the religious center reflects the nation's response. And it would be like us speaking about Washington, D.C. And it would be like us speaking of our capital. And when Jesus says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he says, we've sent so many prophets have gone there and they've tried to warn them, and yet every time they reject, and they take the gods of the Assyrians, and they take the gods of the Egyptians, and they tend to still reject Jehovah God, and they stone the very prophets that have tried to help them. Jeremiah wept his way through ministering to them, and the more he preached, the more they rejected, and he just had to cry when it came. And Hezekiah preached, and Malachi preached, and all of the prophets tried, but so many times, and you read your Old Testament, they were not received well. That's what Jesus is saying. And so it was, Pentecost says, because Jerusalem was to be the scene of his rejection and death, that city would come under divine judgment. Jerusalem had a long history of rejecting God's messengers and messages. Israel had killed the prophets and stoned those whom God had sent. Luke 11:50, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of this world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Even as those that were listening to Jesus on this day were rejecting him, Jesus said, I want you to know, there is a price to rejecting the prophets of God. And there was a price that was paid in 586 BC when the Babylonian captivity took place. And there's a price to be paid, Jesus says, in this particular moment, even right now, as they were rejecting him. Friend, when you hear the gospel of Jesus, if you're not a believer this morning, don't reject it. Don't reject him. And if you are a believer, when you hear the truth of God, and when you hear a preacher of the Word of God prophesying the truth of the Word of God, don't reject it, but receive it, lest destruction come. In the fall of 2003, there was a tremendous firestorm across Southern California. Many, many people lost their homes. One famous author, Ken Blanchard, down in San Diego area, lost his entire home and property, and many, many others lost their homes. And there was a firefighter by the name of Conrad Grayson who was interviewed in the papers, and he said, we were begging people to leave. We were telling them, you've got to get out of this neighborhood. You've got to get out of this neighborhood. And he said they were not taking us seriously. They didn't seem to understand. It was almost like they had been there, done that, and it was not a big difficulty in their mind. And the firefighter continued, and Grayson went from house to house frantically warning people, and he said people were trying to carry their televisions and their computers and their stuff to their cars, and they weren't listening to me, and they looked like they were packing for a trip instead of escaping the fire. And Grayson said of one particular street, he said, on that street, the ones that listened to me, they're alive. And the ones who did not listen to me burned in the fire. You see, this matter of listening to the word of Jesus Christ is no trite matter. If a firefighter has enough perception to say, hey, this is bad. It's coming up the canyon. I know the kind of smoke, the plumes. They're telling you this is a problem. And I've got my radio, and they're telling me the flames are racing up. Leave your house now. Forget your television. Forget your computer. Get out of there. And he said, the ones that did lived. And Jesus has just finished saying in verse 28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when he shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the prophets. He said, if you reject the straight gate, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's saying, listen to me. Take this seriously. This is something you've got to hear, something you've got to heed. Don't be like those who kill the prophets. Listen to what I'm trying to say. The Proverbs are so clear on this. A wise man heareth instruction. I try to read a proverb a day, and they tell me that a wise man wants to know what God has to say. And yet, Jesus has to warn them about their history of rejection. But he does it with a heart of love. And I want you to see that in verse 34. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee? Now, right there we might think, well, look at that. There's some more hellfire and damnation. I went to a Baptist church and all they talk about is weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Welcome to my country. We don't want to disappoint you. Let me tell you something. A preacher that would tell you about the love of God but not the judgment of God is not preaching the whole counsel of God. The judgment of God is real, but the love of God is greater. So look at the love of God in the second half of this verse. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Now, the imagery of God in Scripture, there's three or four times when God is likened to a bird that protects her chicks and her flock, if you will, a bird that gathers round her hens. And notice what it says here in Deuteronomy 32:9. For the Lord's portion is in his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness and led him about. He instructed him and kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. In this image then, Jesus is revealing God's heart. And when he uses the imagery of a hen that gathers her brood, you understand that when fire comes, and it's been found in many instances in forest fires where a bird will put her wings over, and the hen gathers the brood in, puts her wings over the little chicks, and the fire will sweep down through the valley and destroy everything in its path. And firefighters have told us oftentimes they'll come to the charred remains of a hen and find the little chicklets still underneath, having been spared. And that's what Jesus says. He says, I've been the one giving out the warning message and seeing the fire as it's coming. And all I was trying to do was tell you to get under my wings so that I could protect you, but you said no. And God has mighty wings today. They are wings of grace. They are wings of forgiveness. There are wings that say, come, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. There are wings that have a message of love and forgiveness, and the shedding of the blood is an atonement. It's a covering for our sin. And when we come under Jesus Christ, our sins are covered, and we're redeemed and justified and set apart. And what a wonderful thought that is. But we've got to come under the wing today. And yet they said, we will not come under the wing. You see, there's a love. And Christ had a lamentation for this city that was prompted by love. It was prompted by his foresight. See, some of us, we don't know what's happening tomorrow or the next day. And we try to forecast, but there's not a person in here today who knows whether the stock market will go sky high or go right in the toilet bowl. Nobody knows. And if you find somebody who tells you they do, they don't. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow in Syria. And nobody certainly knows from day to day what America is doing in these circumstances. Nobody seems to know. But when Jesus speaks and when Jesus gives a warning and when Jesus says there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and I'm trying to get you to come under my protection, come here and listen to me. When Jesus is giving a warning, Jesus knows what's about to happen. God in grace had sent his son, and his desire was simply to bring security to his people. And notice what he says there in verse 34, as a hen that gathered her brood under her wings, and say those last three words, please, ye, one more time,
ye would not.
Now, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I ask you today, will you receive Christ today? Or are you going to be like these who said, I will not? I will. And I ask you, why would you reject the protection of the Almighty when it comes to covering you from your sin? But they said, we will not. It was an amazing and agonizing lamentation. Notice finally the announcement of desolation. He announced desolation. Verse 35, Jesus says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now let me just quickly say concerning this verse. When Jesus said, your house is left unto you desolate, I believe in this instance he is speaking about the temple of Jerusalem. The temple of Jerusalem, according to the prophecy of Jesus and then the recording of history, the simple fact is that in 70 AD, the Roman emperor, Titus, came into Jerusalem and literally, utterly destroyed the temple. And Jesus was prophesying that. And Jesus said, I want you to know that your great city and your great house, the temple, is going to be utterly destroyed. Your destruction is sure. And he says, the duration is stated. Ye shall not see me then. Jesus is saying, destruction's coming on you. And you're not going to see me then until that time when I come again. And when you hear the words, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus is adding a note about the duration of his judgment, that they will not see nor recognize him again until he comes at the second time. And until they hear the words that he is the one coming in the name of the Lord. And that phrase, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, is a reference, as I said, to his second coming, to the fact that the Messiah will return. And it is recorded in Psalm 118 and verse 26, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Isaiah foretells this day. And it is the day that is prophesied in 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 16, when the Davidic kingdom will be reestablished and when the Son of God will come to rule and to reign. In fact, it's mentioned in Isaiah 9 in verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a Son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. You see, God, who graciously sent prophet after prophet after prophet, is saying that there's going to be judgment on Jerusalem and that there will not be peace until his son comes the second time. Jesus is simply saying, believe while you can. Judgment is coming. I'll come again at a later time, but it will be too late for your generation if you do not believe now. You see, even as those temple stones were destroyed, no doubt, there would have been those who heard the message of Christ and rejected and said, we will not, whose lives perished. What a tragic thing to die without the covering of the eagle, without the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had a mission. He knew what it was, and he followed faithfully the Lord, the will of God, the Lord did, step by step. Nothing would deter him. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Are you every day following the steps of the Lord and making the most every day out of his will for your life? And for those this morning that may not know Christ, let me ask you this question. Would you come to him and let him cover your sin? Would you stop saying, I will not, and say, I will receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Because Jesus has a message, he has a lamentation, and I believe today it could be said, oh, America, America, how many preachers have you had? How many revivals? How many churches have you had? And now, America, you turn from me. You pierce yourself. You drunken yourself. America, you're worshiping baseball and basketball. Oh, America, America. Your desolation is coming. Turn to me. I guarantee you, in 70 AD, when the Romans came into Jerusalem, there were some people who were awakened for the first time to the realities of life and death. And when destruction comes, you want to know that you're covered. Not just your house insurance, not just your car insurance, but that you know that you have a relationship Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering Dr. Chappell's newest book entitled Renew, 90 Days of Spiritual Refreshment. This beautiful, hardback 90-day devotional guide will encourage you to seek God's face and renew your heart in His Word. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. You can order it by calling 1-800-201-7748. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.